they can't hang with us. Rascals checkmate, calm down the thrust. Shot clear coming down with the northern tick-tock, chicken baby.
Check the lingo, we spread throughout the atmosphere. So distinctive, no other style comes near. So when you hear, you got to peer over the ledge to get a glance, to know who is the man with the talent.
Flipping the words like my body on the apparatus.
Sky's the limit, so we're bound to break through the stratus.
With these rhymes that are classic.
Forget the fads or the fashion, statements I make on the microphone.
In your world domination, the base of the foundation. No time wasted.
Firewalk, we trail blazing.
Burn to the next destination. Flexing on this world exploration. Teamed with the best in the nation.
Yes, and who that be?
Custom design, fine rhymes into salary. All the way from T dot to the Van City All-Star. Rude boys treat you like a fantasy.
Word up.
Yes, yes. From the Northwest, Van City. Oh, desire. I like chilling. Monday night, Raw watching. Yeah. Me and Danny O at the Sky Dome. When it's in town, my peoples know I just be regular. So haters start dissing. But steady, reciting my lyrics up with my in their mouth. They swallowing. Talk about they need some oxygen. People need to know. Shot clear, they're moving no slow mo. Into women like a Gano. Carlo, dollars in fists now. How you gon' feel when you see the six triple low? We'll start the pill, swap dog appeal. Y'all know the deal. If you don't, ask my man why dog. He'll tell you the circle, ride the spot. Represents like my Northwest connects rascals. They make the cash flows indeed. Yo, I down the gold schlager, big C puff the shot clear with the mouth colorful like the currency.
We notorious, ain't nobody can bang with us. Rascals checkmate, carter down the thrust. Shot clear coming down with that northern touch. Why you people wanna bang with us? Ain't nobody can hang with us.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Street Talks Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. As always, we can be reached on Twitter at Street Talks. That's STR, the number 8TALKS. You can also reach us on their website, www.straighttalks.com. That's STR, the number 8-TALKS.com. We can be reached 24/7 there. Leave your comments, show ideas, whatever you want to tell us. We'll definitely respond to you, whether it's good or bad. Just a few corrections from the last podcast. It's making fun of the Heat. Some of the NY Eric Spoelstra's never been associated with Coach of the Year. And I said Phil Jackson maybe won it twice. He only won it once. He won it once with the Bulls in their record-breaking season. So I made a mistake on that. I apologize. Also mentioned that the Raptors have only made the playoffs 3 times in 20 years, which was incorrect. I believe it's 6 or 7. Is it 5 or 6 times? I believe it was 5 or 6 times, and they've won one playoff series, and yes, it was against the New York Knicks, but what can you do, right? Can't win them all. Today's show is pretty special. We have 2 guests with me tonight. In studio, we have my man Tony, a very good friend of mine. Say hi to people.
What's going on, everybody?
Team affiliations, real quick. Who do you back? Who do you back?
Oh, I back the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. Right now I am backing the other Raptors, I won't lie, but I'm primarily my Miami Heat fan.
Is there such a thing?
That's a very good question. If there is such a fan, yes, it might seem odd at the fact that when the big three did join, I did gravitate towards the Heat.
Call it what it is. You hopped on the freaking bandwagon. say what it is, man.
I'm a LeBron James fan. Mm-hmm. I did cheer for them when I did cheer for him while he was playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I haven't seen a player like LeBron James since probably the ages of Michael Jordan. So he brings to me some excitement back to the game. So I instantly became a fan of his. A fan, in quotations, fan.
Or a front runner, whatever. And on the phone, we have my man, Edson.
Edson!
Check 1, 2. Can you hear me well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, we can hear you. What's going on?
glad to be here on the podcast, Straight Talking. And I wish you would actually introduce me first so I could have interjected on Tony talking about his Miami Heat and whether or not there's even such a thing as a Heat fan. I actually used to live in Miami, and I can tell you that there is actually no such thing as a Heat fan, not even living in the city. We can get into that a little bit later. I know you've got a little itinerary to get to, so I'll just let you get to that, Reg.
I'll definitely let you continue on and say, you know, what it is that you're going to be saying about me, but that's fine. I've got a thick skin, so please, Ed, continue.
I'm going to let Reg run the show here, and we can get to his itinerary. If there's time for that at the end, I'm sure we'll get to it.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get to that. I've booked time for that. Don't even worry about that. But getting this thing back on the rails. You know, hey, Ed, couple questions for you.
Sure.
I know that you're a big Michigan Wolverines fan.
If you want my affiliations, I can run down those real quick.
Okay, let's do that then. Let's start with that.
Yeah, well, I'm a Toronto Raptors fan since day one. I also attended the University of Michigan, so I'm a Michigan basketball fan and Michigan fan all around as well.
So football, volleyball, tiddlywinks, basketball.
Right,
Michigan.
Right.
As long as there's a big yellow M, you're in, right?
The field hockey team is mean. And, of course, can't forget our common love, Reg, the Arsenal Football Club.
Come on now. That's the only reason why you're on the damn show today. Oh, trust
me. And we're talking about keeping it on the rails, okay? Well, we'll get to Arsenal, okay? But let's...
Trust me, that's the only damn reason why he's on the show.
Yeah, well, hey, man, I'm waiting for the Arsenal podcast.
Don't worry. At the end of the season, we're going to do a nice recap. We're going to do a World Cup preview, all that stuff. Don't worry. We're going to be there.
Yeah, lovely.
For sure. So what did you take out of Michigan?
Well, communications. I did 3 years there, but going to Michigan is not exactly like living in Toronto. It's really not multicultural. Well, living in the States, period. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really turned on by the idea after a few years and came home.
Yeah, I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing now?
Currently, I'm watching this Memphis game and talking to you at the same time.
No, Edson, we're giving you a chance to plug yourself. You are, we call you Ed, but you are known as Taboo.
Yeah, some people know me as Taboo. I've worked in radio in this city. I've worked in some sports media as well. So I'm kind of a renaissance man. I also happen to throw some of the hottest parties in the city.
And you know what, Ed? That's what we want to hear about your hot parties that you are holding.
I do. I have a brand that a lot of people seem to know for soulful house music called Sweet Tears. I do it with Starting From Scratch. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I have my own collection of brands highlighted by Hip Hop Versus House, which is kind of taken off and has become a bit of a phenomenon for me. So, you know, I'm just happy for the blessings, man. And I'm happy to be here with y'all today, too.
So we're giving you a moment here to plug, I guess, your next party, because obviously we're down for the Toronto love, and you know what I mean, us being from Milliken and whatever have you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. We all want to, you know what I mean? The numbers are the strength comes in within numbers. So when can we see or hear one of your next parties that are going to be happening? Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, May 24th, which is not May 2-4 weekend, that's the weekend before, but May 24th, that Saturday, we're going to be doing Wrong Bar that night as well for Sweet Tears. And other than that, just check me out on the Twitter. That would be AKA, as in also known as Taboo, T-A-B-O-O, one word, no spaces. And all the info is there. We'll probably talk some smack about some Arsenal Football Club and some Raptors too. So,
well, I see that you're definitely not new to this. So we thank you very, very much, my kind sir.
No problem, brother. I am no stranger to the plug.
Okay, and we'll put all your contact information on our website as well on our partners page, if you don't mind.
Boom. No, sounds good.
Sounds good. Cool. All right, so. Topics that we're going to discuss today. We're going to discuss the obvious biggest sports issue right now, Donald Sterling. Okay.
Yeah, definitely one of the biggest of all time, actually.
Yeah, it is, actually. And I might be on the other side of what people are saying, but we'll get into that a little bit later as well.
Okay.
And then we're going to start, and then we're going to end off with a Game 5 recap and a Game 6 preview of the Raptors since they play tomorrow.
Sounds fantastic. All
right. Yeah, we thought you would like that.
And I got some questions to ask about last night's game, but we'll get into that a little later. All right, so for all of you that don't understand, that didn't hear, or that been living under a rock for the last week or so,
and I know that's not many of you, but
even on the website, the 9-minute audio of him being screwed by his girlfriend is up there. So if you need to have a recap, it's there. So I'm not going to rehash everything that's happened. So my whole thing is this. I'm going to get right into it. Okay, everybody knows what happened. My whole thing is this. If you're David Stern or Adam Silver, because everyone's praising Adam Silver right now that he's the savior, he's done the best thing ever, he banned him for life, put him on a pedestal, gold, running in fields of gold, right?
Right.
If you know, he had to have known that this guy's a racist, right?
Definitely.
Well, you know what's funny about that? I was reading something earlier today and I thought about it. I was like, you know, when Bill Clinton left office and everyone was applauding him for his 8 years in office, and he at one point he said, yeah, but, you know, I didn't get Osama bin Laden.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's kind of where David Stern is. Like, yeah, I had the greatest run of any NBA commissioner all time. I took this game from zero to what it is now.
Yeah, to in terms of, you know, popularity. I hear what you're saying.
And I think that was just the one thing that he couldn't get done during his tenure. But I think what they did was they set the franchise up to be one of the marquee franchises and maybe have an even bigger microscope on it than it's ever had at this point with the acquisition of Chris Paul. And you see what happens. Pressure bursts pipes, right? Mm-hmm. Eventually, it got to him. You know, this whole TMZ generation, this crazy news cycle that we're sort of living with now, he got caught up in that, and it really didn't take much.
Ed, let me ask you something. Being that David Stern and Donald Sterling are from a Jewish background, and knowing, I guess, that you know what I mean, this gentleman was having these views and thoughts on things, do you think David Stern maybe gave him a lie, being that the two of them, you know, were Jewish? Like, because this is something that we all know.
I think that's a valid question. I think the reason why he gave him the lie, or why he might have gotten the lie, is not because necessarily he realized there was a commonality in him that, oh, they're both Jewish. I think it's just one stubborn person being able to recognize another stubborn person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
He'd been in and around that franchise for a very long time. You know what I mean? Basically, like, he took the franchise from San Diego and moved it to Los Angeles without even asking.
Yeah, and they ended up, the NBA wanted to fine him $25 million.
Exactly.
And he turned around and countersued them for $100 million.
This is one of the most litigious people in the history of our planet.
Definitely.
They say that he loves litigation.
Definitely.
Right? So until now, there's been no premise. There has been no sort of crack in the door to be able to jam your foot into, wedge it open to kick him out of there.
Definitely. I hear you. My views, I guess, on this, I was very offended by Donald Sterling's remarks, being that he felt that he was running a plantation and the players, you know what I mean, he felt that he really owned them, and then the minority women he can pretty much do as he will, or, you know what I mean, as he wanted to do with them. And I found, you know what I mean, his remarks very, 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 very insulting. I was, I know it probably, it wasn't directed maybe, me being a black man, I felt very disrespected at the fact that this isn't the 1800s, okay? And I understand that everyone has their personal views you know what I mean, in the world. And I don't really feel that it was right that it's a private conversation that had been recorded and then kind of used against him. But what Reggie and I were speaking about earlier is that he's an owner in the NBA. It's like, you can say it's like a secret society and he has to abide, you know what I mean, by certain rules. So his comments were definitely offensive, do you know what I mean, to obviously a lot of black basketball players, minority, Latino, whatever have you.
Right.
And I guess I can ask this to you, Reg. What do you think about the penalty that was thrown against him? And do you think that, as you had said earlier, Ed, do you think that there's going to be a litigation battle for him to give up this team?
Yeah, me, you're asking Reg.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess you guys can, wherever you, you know what I mean? I'm just.
Go ahead. Guess first. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Reg.
I believe he's going to have to give up his team. I believe it. He doesn't have anything to do with the team. He's not allowed to be around the team. He's not allowed to do anything with the Clippers. How can you run a team like that? Unless you put a figurehead in his position and he can run it through him, but still, he's not around.
Well, the funny thing about it is, he bought the Clippers for what? $12 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the figure I heard.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Now the initial numbers are tossing out about what it might get if the Clippers went up for auction. $1.5 billion.
What, the Clippers?
The Clippers?
Yes.
Wow, I heard 750 mil. That's what I was reading.
Herb Cole is talking about selling the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks. For $650 million.
Oh wow.
Yeah, now in that market, you could say with bidders, potential bidders like Magic Johnson, Oprah Winfrey, up and down the line, it that could definitely fetch over $1 billion for the franchise. Which would end up being a coup for the NBA in the end, because that shows that a franchise that is second best in a city that's owned by a racist and blotched by this whole thing is worth $1.5 billion, up to $1.5 billion.
I hear you, and I'm not going to be debating, I guess, the figures. The fact of the matter is that this gentleman, you know what I mean, I will call him a gentleman because whatever have you, he will be walking away with a lucrative amount of money from this investment that he has made. I say take the money and run. But from the articles that I'm reading,
he ain't gonna do that.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna fight until people are dead.
And that's the way I feel as well. You know what I mean? I don't know what other people are thinking, but I think he's gonna fight. He's got an ego as big.
He's gonna fight.
Yeah.
An hour after the verdict came down, I'm not selling my team. That's what he said.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Oh, exactly. Right.
And he's ready to fight. So I can't say that I'm surprised that he's going to be fighting to obviously keep his team. The thing that that concerns me is the loopholes. Is he going to then hand off the team to his wife? Is he going to hand it off to son-in-law?
Have someone else run it for him.
I'm worried about that. I know when Adam Silver had dropped down his verdict, he had said that it was only including Donald Sterling. So it gets sort of sticky, but I don't think this is over from no stretch of the imagination.
Not even close.
I think the league's going to be steadfast in their want and their intention to have him sell the franchise, and I think he's going to be just as steadfast. So we're definitely in for a war, and I think that franchise in particular is in for some real turmoil.
I would tend to agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about that, but my whole point is this. Okay, he's a racist, get him out. Yeah, okay, lifetime ban, fine. $2.5 million fine, okay, whatever. But NBA, David Stern, Adam Silver, they knew this guy was like that. Correct?
Yeah.
Had to.
They did.
You can't be in business with someone for 20 years and not know they're Archie Bunker in disguise.
That's
right.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay. So if you know someone's like that and they're not being racist towards, you know, players in the NBA, but they're racist in their personal life, is that still a good thing? Is that good that it's not bleeding over into the NBA? Which is what I think David Stern and Adam Silver were like, hey, do whatever you want in your personal life. Freaking hang black people if you want. But when it bleeds into the NBA and it comes to what we're trying to build, it's either you or me and you're going down.
Right. I think that's kind of where it's ended up. But let's not forget the great Elgin Baylor, one of the most respected older basketball players ever, you know, retired basketball players, NBA legends ever. Worked for the franchise, and as Tony had mentioned a little bit earlier, basically said that it was like working under a slave master.
Right.
And brought litigation against him. And Adam Silver had mentioned in his press conference the other day, just after announcing it, that, you know, it's sort of like Bin Laden, you know, they tried on a few occasions, like they got close, they found him in the caves, they got him in the hills, but he's slippery.
I like that analogy. I see exactly what it is that you're saying.
So, you know, they've done a good job of kind of brushing the little things under the rug, and once this big thing came out, they jumped all over and took the advantage to get him out. You know, he was a ticking time bomb.
I would have to agree with that. And again, I don't want to beat this topic, like, you know what I mean, with a stick to a dead dog, but this, some of the comments I was reading that this gentleman made, that he, I guess, was renting some apartments or whatever have you, and had said
he's
that
a slumlord.
Yeah, but NBA knows that.
Yeah, he doesn't want
NBA wanna, knows
yeah,
that.
They yeah. don't want to rent to black people because they bring environments. He doesn't want to rent to a Latino people that because they just hang out.
That's what I'm saying. If it doesn't bleed into the NBA, it's fine to do. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's hard to sort of judge an owner by his business practices outside of the one business that you're involved in them with.
If he came about
owning the franchise in a legal manner, what can you do?
And I hear what you're saying, but these things, they should have been, the NBA, I'm sure, should have taken notice. Again, I blame the NBA. I'm not going to lie. I blame the NBA for allowing this gentleman, because he's supposedly the longest,
of course,
owning owner in the NBA. And
yep.
They, as you had said earlier, they had swept this under the rug. They should have addressed this like earlier, as you had pointed out, Ed. He's a ticking time bomb. And you know what I mean? For he's 80 years old. They gave him a lifetime ban. He's got one foot in the grave, and you know what I mean? He's ready to keel over as it is already. So, and he's a billionaire. So really, I understand that Adam Silver has to defend, you know what I mean, the players and the fans, because obviously 75%, you know what I mean, of the NBA is players, and a lot of minority people come and see the games. But really, I think this is a lesson that was a lesson learned that was too late, to tell you the honest truth.
In terms of like
of him,
I don't think this is bad for the NBA at all, to be honest with you. I think that Adam Silver comes out smelling like roses.
Of course.
I think that he's the brand new NBA commissioner, a high profile position.
Right.
And
this is
it
my
took
point.
Everyone yeah. how many years to learn David Stern's name?
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, in literally 1 week, everybody around the world knows Adam Silver's name.
This is my
point. He's just as high profile.
This is my point.
And that's definitely I, again, I'm just giving you my personal thoughts, but I hear what you're saying.
What do you think the ratings were like for that Clippers game the other night?
Probably off the charts.
Off the charts. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? And what do you think the ratings are going to be like for the rest of the playoffs? Or if the Clippers rally around this now and take their behind all the way to the Western Conference Finals or maybe even the Finals? You think that's not going to be sweet without the Lakers in the playoffs, without the Knicks in the playoffs, without the Celtics in the playoffs?
I would have to. So, okay, Ed. So, I don't know. The tone that I'm getting from your voice is, do you think... Okay, and I'm sorry. I'm switching the conversation. I'm going totally left with it. Do you think this was all conspired? Do you think this was just something to help ratings or...
Because we all know how they cheated and got Chris Paul.
I think there are a lot of dots to be connected here. It's something that I've kind of cooked up the last few days. I started to think to myself, I'm like, who really had the most to gain from all this?
It's the NBA.
As I said, now evaluation is being placed on a franchise like this of 1.5. What do you think they're going to sell a new one for when they go to, you know, expand somewhere?
And you know what? As we're talking, that's definitely a revelation that you that has been revealed to me. I didn't even look at it like that. But nowadays, you just don't. Everything is not black and white. No, it's not.
Exactly. Everything is not black and white. There are many shades of gray. And in terms of the scale of right versus wrong, this registers in so many different shades of gray along that scale.
How
is this girl out here recording this guy in the first place, and the scrupulousness or unscrupulousness of how these recordings were even, you know, acquired in the first place. You know, again, there's so many different shades of gray.
And I would have to agree.
When I first heard about this, I thought it was like they caught him on like the phone talking. But when you hear, when you listen to the clip, they're in the same room.
Right. Well, the crazy thing about the clips, what I read today is, or at least this is, you know, her assertion, Soriano, whatever her name was.
Yeah, yeah.
apparently, her assertion is that she's also like a pseudo assistant to him. And apparently he's so old now and so senile in his racist old age that he'd asked her to record their conversation so he wouldn't forget things or ideas that he would say. So these are actually like recordings that were commissioned and like okayed by him.
Really?
He just never imagined that she would turn on him and use these recordings the way that she has.
Really?
That was the latest thing that I read just today. It was actually a Bill Simmons article on Grantland that discusses it.
Oh, shit, Bill Simmons.
Yeah. It's a whole other podcast topic
Bill Simmons alone. No idea, brother. That guy, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, whoo. For weeks I could talk to you about those.
Don't worry, Ed. We have your number on speed dial, okay? Don't worry about this.
Yeah, he was just telling me that that girl was his personal assistant, and he told her to record their conversation so he wouldn't forget stuff.
Okay.
Because I read the Kareem article yesterday, and I was thinking, moral compass. I get what you're saying, Kareem. Like, it's completely unscrupulous, and we shouldn't all just be eating this up like, you know, sharks and there's chum in the water. But of course we are. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, if this is how they, you know, she came about them.
Yeah. But I guess you can find this very ironic that he has these point of views on, you know what I mean, minorities, blacks, Latinos, wherever have you. And the same minority that he was trying to prop up on a pedestal is the same minority, I guess you can say, quote unquote, brought him down. I don't know. I guess we can't really talk financially because obviously this guy's a billionaire, but I guess morally, and I guess him having a conscience, if he has one, he's definitely taking a fall. I was talking to a friend, and basically, you can have all the money in the world, But when, I guess, it's time for you to meet your maker, are there going to be people that are going to be around him to say, like, you know what, this guy Donald Sterling was a really good guy, you know what I mean? Or
there's some people that say that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some people. I guess I'm looking at it in more of a, I guess, a spiritual way. But it's just his money can only carry him so far, but his reputation, to me personally, has been tarnished.
But
so.
You can't be an owner in the NBA that long and not have people owe you favors. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. So, and I think there might be one or two owners that ends up jumping to his defense in all this, to be honest with you. And
I think
if not
be more
for
than that.
Their personal relationships with him, also for the fact that it's presenting a slippery slope for the NBA and their own ownership claims to their franchises.
Yeah, I guess Mr. Mark Cuban had brought up some points stating that, you know what I mean, they can't. Everyone has a right to be a moron. Everyone has a right to, you know what I mean, their opinion. But being able to force a man to sell his NBA team is, you know what I mean, definitely something to really think about and consider.
Well, yeah, I don't know what it says in their constitution in terms of, like, being an owner in the NBA, right. What their code of conduct is. Right. I know there is one.
Right, right. Yeah, I can definitely agree with you there. But hey, from what I've seen and from what I've read, Adam Silver seems to be very stern on the fact that he would like to remove, Mr. Sterling, from the NBA. Whether it's going to be as easy as, I guess, he thinks it is, I guess is
yeah.
the question.
Yeah, I think the people that are taking what he said in the press conference the other day for law, and not just more of a suggestion of what he's going to try and do, are going to be sorely mistaken, because I don't think that the ownership structure there is going to be changing anytime soon, and I think there's a lengthy court battle ahead. So yeah. He was stating a goal. He was putting it out there and hoping that the universe would make it happen.
Right.
But I don't think that Sterling is going to be cooperating.
I hear. I would have to, again.
Does Magic have any Magic Johnson, does he have any stake in the Lakers?
No, not anymore. I think there was one point where he did have a stake in the Lakers, but I don't believe anymore.
If I do remember, I think he did have a stake in the Lakers. And again, I don't know. Me personally, I don't know. I know he's bought into the Dodgers, but I don't know if he does have a stake with the Lakers. To tell you.
Yeah, no, not to my knowledge.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So, you know what I mean? We're going to go on to the next edit. I know you're going to love this.
So we're done with Donald Stern.
We're done with Donald Stern. We're
done with Donald Stern.
Can you hear my smile over the phone?
We can hear it through the phone, but we are on to the next topic, and that is the Raptors Game 5 against the Brooklyn Nets.
Ed, tell me something. Tell me something.
Tell
me something. Ed's like dying. Like, he's like pushing everyone out of the way. Like,
what in the world? What in the world happened in the fourth quarter? You almost gave up 44 points. Is that what I was reading today?
Here's my thing about the fourth quarter.
There we go.
Okay, the fourth quarter came after three full quarters of ass kicking. Mm-hmm. Okay? 26-point lead. Those things don't just happen by themselves. Mm-hmm. So in order to be able to give one up, you must first have one.
That's the way you're going to look at it, Ed?
Right?
If we're talking about
a veteran team like the Brooklyn Nets, or any team for that matter, I was watching that game thinking, when is the run coming? That's what I was thinking. It just so happened to start when you have John Solomons and Chunk Hayes on at the same time. I mean, you know, there was some questionable coaching in that game, if you ask me.
Oh, come on, Ed. You're gonna blame Dwayne Casey for that?
And don't get me wrong. I have been a Casey critic all season, yes. But I feel like he's been really good down the stretch and had a pretty decent playoff so far. But I was questioning a few of the moves down the stretch there. But again, you know. Here's my, as a Raptors fan, my best case scenario, and I know a lot of Raptors fans probably aren't going to want to hear this, but my best case scenario is we play as many games as possible and learn as many lessons as possible, but still win before going on to the second round.
What lesson did you learn last night?
What's that?
What lesson did you learn last night?
What lessons did we learn? Well, to be honest with you, you know, we were in a tight game and we let the lead slip. So basically the same lessons that Brooklyn happened to learn in game three the other night, right? It was the same type of game.
I honestly felt, Ed, as you were saying, there was definitely a lesson learned with the Raptors. I felt from last night's game, that they built a lot of character. Being down 26, Brooklyn coming back to tie the game, the team could have folded. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And they fought. You know what I mean? They fought back. You know what I mean? They took back the lead. And, you know what I mean, ended up with the victory.
That's right, 100%. We fell asleep a little bit. We got a little complacent, whatever you want to call it.
Right?
That happens to every team. The question is, how do you respond to that? And we responded to that with a couple of clutch defensive plays, right? We responded to that with a clutch bucket from – a clutch contribution from everybody, not just Kyle, especially Kyle, but not just him. And look at DeMar DeRozan. I mean, how icy cold he's been with these free throws down the stretch as a first-year playoff player. It's ridiculous.
And DeRozan is definitely, earning his stripes. You well are aware that, you know what I mean, I am definitely a DeRozan fan. But
we've discussed this at length.
We've definitely discussed. But I honestly feel that at times DeRozan takes too many shots. Yesterday, last night's game, he got everybody involved. He was being the facilitator on the court, and that's what had gotten them to the dance. He goes into this a bit of a Kobe clone thing, and just starts throwing up shots and. At times, I feel that's hurting. That's very much hurting the Raptors. And I'm definitely a DeMar DeRozan fan, but
he needs to really. I like to call him Kobe Light. Actually, that's what I call him. I've coined that from a little while ago. Actually, his game is kind of Kobe Light.
He only pulled that show for one game, man.
We watched game three, and when. We watched game three on Sunday, and when DeMar sat down...
Yeah, the ball moved better.
Yeah, the ball moved. Was it game three? Sorry, game three, game four? Sorry.
Game four.
Game four? Sunday. I apologize. Yeah. When he was out in the third, you know what I mean, for that little stretch, the ball was moving. And as we all know, I'm just trying to be honest, that when he sat down, then the Raptors actually looked like a team. So he needs to trust in his teammates. There's guys on that team that are more than willing and able to put the ball in the basket. You know what I mean? Trust. I got to say, you know what I mean? Obviously, if DeRozan's listening, well, you know what I mean? Well, a little far-fetched, but, yo, pass the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think it's hard to expect a player in their third and their fourth and even in their fifth playoff game of all time to sort of be playing with 100% full awareness and to have them have had the game slow down for them to be able to see everything that's out there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just looked like the game was just moving maybe even like, you know, a kilometer or two just a little too fast for him.
Right.
Well, DeRozan has the weight of the whole city on. He's the all-star.
Right.
He feels he has to do it. He's the one who suffered through all the bad years,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
Right.
He's got the $10 million contract. Everyone's saying, why are you giving this guy all the money? Mm-hmm. Now he's the all-star. Now we're in the playoffs. Now he has to take that shot.
And you know what? I would have to agree. I think he feels that he has to carry the team on his back.
And he doesn't.
But exactly. He doesn't have to do that. As we saw last night, Lowry is more than confident within his skin. What do you feel? I was talking to Reg earlier, and do you think Masaya Yuri has a crystal ball where he's able to see the future, because he did not pull the trigger on trading Kyle Lowry?
No, he didn't pull the trigger on trading Kyle Lowry because the Knicks wouldn't give him Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh, okay.
And we couldn't trade.
The Knicks fan pipes up, right?
Yeah, I was wondering who was going to show up.
And we couldn't. Yeah,
but the thing is, Hardaway Jr. might have made that an interesting deal for us, right? Now,
Yeah, but we were trying to go. We were trying to go.
You thought that Ray Felton was just as good as our boy Kyle.
What am I supposed to say, Ed? What am I supposed to say?
Not much of an upgrade, I believe, is how you and a few other friends characterized it.
What am I supposed to say, Ed? Seriously. Of course, Ray Felton's garbage. But what am I going to do? I'm arguing with you guys. I'm going to tell you, yeah, my point guard shit, my center shit, my wing shit. What am I supposed to say? Oh, man. And last year, Lowry wasn't anything.
At least the truth has come out finally.
Last year, Lowry wasn't anything. So this is a surprise to me this season that he's putting together.
And I would have to agree with Reg, because we went to go see a preseason game and he was not – He wasn't this guy. I don't know.
You know what? Newsflash. This whole thing is a surprise to all of us if we're all keeping it real, okay? I thought that we could be in the playoffs, but winning the Atlantic was never in my thought pattern.
And I would have to agree. I thought the Raptors could definitely make some noise if they got into the playoffs, but yeah, winning the division, you know what I mean? But and I don't want to seem like a downer, okay? But 48 wins, you know what I mean? What is that? The most that the Raptors have ever.
Is that a tie or the most?
Yeah.
That's the most, right?
Yep.
48 okay, wins is the so most.
As we were talking about this earlier, Ed, I'm down with the whole. You know what I mean? We are the North. We're the underdog. We're fighting. But I feel that we need to set the bar a little higher. Maybe I'm running, you know what I mean, with the baton and not looking to – I don't have it to pass it to anyone. But 48 wins, yes. And I know the East is weak. But we definitely have to step up on the win totals. We got to set more of an expectation.
48 wins with the average age per player that we have on this squad. That's really the number to key in on. You've got such a young core tied up for such a long time, as Reg had alluded to a little bit earlier. We have DeMar DeRozan after this season here is done for the next 3 seasons at the lovely sum of $30 million total.
And I definitely feel that we got to deal with that guy. You know what I mean?
That's right. So not only do we have a good player locked up at a really reasonable price, which allows us to maybe go out into the free agent market and be a little bit daring out there, right? Obviously, if we're looking at Jonas Valanciunas too, I mean, we're going to have him at least for probably the next 5 years. Again, locked down at a reasonable salary.
Yeah, and this is another thing we were talking about with Jonas, and he's definitely going to be a player.
Oh, he's a bad boy.
Yes,
he's a bad boy
to be reckoned with. He's a second year player. Obviously, he just needs to stay on his feet a little bit more, try to stay out of foul trouble. You know what I mean? Because I feel that he's very key to this series. I feel he gets into foul trouble very early, and you know what I mean, Casey. I don't know. I don't see this guy for a lot of the third, maybe coming in at the end of the fourth. Again, don't quote me on this, but what I'm saying is that once he gets his skill set together, second year player, he played like a monster. He came out the first game of the playoff series, gangbuster, double. I don't think it happened since what was that, Antonio Davis?
Was that for the Raptors?
Well, right. The crazy thing they said was 30 and 30 in your first two games. Only I think it was Ralph Sampson and who was the
Sam Perkins. So he's definitely going to, I feel that the Raptors have their core three. Lowry, DeRozan,
not yet.
And Valanciunas.
Not yet, Lowry.
Lowry
hasn't signed yet.
Well, yeah, okay. And maybe this is wishful thinking, but if they sign back Lowry, the Raptors have things in order, and they can definitely move in a very positive direction. That's just my feeling.
Not to mention that we're set up for the next couple of drafts also, which gives us more assets. And then if we're looking, again, DeMar DeRozan, his contract, a huge asset. Think about what it took to get the pick that selected Nerland Knowles for the Philadelphia 76ers last year, right?
Right.
A budding all-star in Jrue Holiday. And to me, after the year that he had this year, I would say that DeMar DeRozan's value is a little bit, if not a lot, a bit higher than Jrue Holiday's,
right?
And a couple of draft picks.
All right. and you bring up some very valid points.
Let me cut right? you, Ed.
So, you know, in terms of everyone saying, oh, this should have been a tank season. Well, having a DeMar DeRozan emerge the way that he has at that salary is even better than a tank. Okay, we can go out there and make some moves with his deal and with that chip in our back pocket.
Okay, Ed. So I got two things for you. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a tank season, right?
Right.
Now you bring in, well, Colangelo brought in Rudy Gay. Do you move Rudy Gay to bring in those four role players to continue the tank, or did you really think that this is our bench now? And these are the guys that are going to come out and win us games.
To be honest with you, I thought Masai Ujiri just went for the highest value. I think that what his plan was to keep on wheeling and dealing. He was going to take Grievous Vasquez and deal him to a playoff contender.
I got you.
Right? Give him a place to showcase his stuff and send him. I mean, clearly he just wasn't being utilized properly in Sacramento.
Well, you can't send him out.
He's the best backup point guard in the NBA.
Yeah. You can't send him out.
And better than most team starters. Would we be talking about Indiana like this if Grievous Vasquez was playing their point guard?
No.
Yeah, for real.
No.
George Hill's
not at all.
Second thing I want to ask you.
So I think that his plan was just to get as much value for Rudy Gay as possible. And I don't know if he necessarily meant to, you know, assemble the super friends on our bench, you know, and give us one of the best benches.
That bench is wicked, by the way.
I don't think anyone really intended for that to happen, you know. And who really, I mean, I make fun of him a lot, but who thought that John Salmons would have contributed the way that he has so far? Definitely. Who even thought that Chuck Hayes would be contributing the way that he has? Definitely. Not me.
No, yeah, I would have to second that notion. I saw the Raptors going to the playoffs, but I honestly didn't see all this. I really didn't see all this. This is really good for the city of Toronto. This is, you know what I mean? This is really, really good. I love what it is going on. Just one point I wanted to bring up. The Raptors need to continue on doing what it is that they're doing, because I was speaking to a friend of mine. Her son plays basketball. Well, was playing basketball, and basically what happened was is that after the Raptors started to go sort of downhill for mm-hmm. that, you know what I mean, before this, you know what I mean, the 6-year drought ended, he got disinterested. So the Raptors need to really look at the fact that they are role models in the city of Toronto. They're the right. outlet for kids out there to really follow suit in the game of basketball. I know they say Drake's the ambassador and whatever,
right.
happy, but really corny. these players for the Raptors are, you know what I mean, are really...
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, they are really integral to what these kids, these young kids are doing in T-Dot. And I know I'm just getting off track. Trust me, there's reason. There's a reason for that, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Keep doing what you're doing, Raptors, please.
I think that everyone in the community kind of feels the same way. And I think that now, as opposed to before, even like you're talking about 6 years ago, you know, there wasn't much proof to the pudding. You know what I mean? There wasn't much proof that was actually the case. But now you look across college ball and you look at guys like Dwight Powell and Nick Stauskas and Joseph. Tyler Ennis. Exactly. Yeah. Melvin Ejim, all the way up and down the line, right? You're looking at these guys now, and the proof is definitely in the pudding. There's been an effect that the Toronto Raptors have had on this community and this country.
Definitely, yes, and that's what I would again definitely have to agree.
So when do we send?
I wouldn't be surprised also if Masai Ujiri's like major plan is to start. You know, who knows how long it might take, but start recruiting these Canadian kids to come back home. Build this into a Canadian basketball hub, a super team. Make that be the identity. You know, have it be a Canadian franchise for real, where you know you're one of your stars or two of your stars or the core of your group happen to be Canadian. You know, that's an easy sell to those kids.
And you know what, you bring a good point. I guess Reggie wanted to just jump in here.
Well, real quick, would you want Andrew Wiggins to go somewhere else for 3 years, and then at the end of those 3 years say, you know what, I'm going to go back to Toronto? Wouldn't you want someone else to develop him? deal with the growing pains.
I'm not sure that any other market would be as patient with him as we would be here.
Oh, but the coaches and the team would be very patient. I don't care about the fans. But, I mean, if LeBron had gone to, say, I don't know, Milwaukee for his first 3 years and then come back to Cleveland, don't you think it would have been a little? It would have been a little better. Do you think he'd still be there now?
That's possible. I mean, I don't know exactly the effects of the pressure of playing in your hometown market, but I feel like the way that we've been really patient with DeMar DeRozan over his years here, I feel like that's just kind of the nature of Torontonians as fans. I mean, we're all Leafs fans, right? So our patience is definitely sky high in this market. So I don't think that being drafted to his home market would necessarily hurt him. I think for him it might be a good thing, because these other markets, you know, when they don't see what they want or what they expect from a top pick early on, many times, you know, guys are written off really quickly. You know, guys like Thomas Robinson, you know, top three picks where it's like they bounced around to three or four different teams already. Yeah. Bad teams, like through bad teams.
Yeah.
You know, it happens, and it's like these guys aren't even in the third year of their career yet.
That is very, very, very
so,
true.
So when does Brian Colangelo get the props he deserves? Like, just like Brian.
I've been giving it to him. I've been giving it to him, and I've been screaming for him to get them from other Raptors fans too. Like you said, he's the one who acquired, even if you're talking about like some of the bad deals, the Rudy Gay deals, you know, like obviously the Andrea Bargnani deal wasn't that hard. Masai Ujiri got rid of that contract pretty quick.
Shut up. It's enough. I don't want to hear about Bargnani.
I know. I didn't want to. You knew I was going to have to bring it up, though, Reg, at the very least. Right? Everyone thought that that we as a franchise were doomed. You know, even the most staunch Raptors fans. But, you know, our situation was never that bad. You know, Colangelo had never painted us into a corner.
Yeah, and I think just like you said, we're all Leaf fans, and it's just like Brian Burke. Brian Burke built this Leaf team. No one has came in and tinkered a little bit here and there, but it's still the same players that that Burke
right.
And I think Colangelo deserves a big pat on the back for what's happening right now.
I believe so too. I think he tried to go for the home run with the Rudy Gay deal. I think he was probably in the midst of maybe losing his job, and he tried to get Rudy the quote unquote alpha dog, but it just
because no one was stepping up to take it.
Right. So
right. And you're absolutely right on the Rudy Gay thing. Remember, that was the exact same time that the ownership had switched over from the teachers union to Rogers and Bell.
Right.
And he was being fully evaluated at that point. And, you know, for these guys, the next step in terms of earning revenue is getting the team into the playoffs. And you know, he did what he could at the time, what he thought was right to do it. And, you know, ultimately, Rudy Gay, that's a dream team player. That's a top-tier player. I mean, you know, that's a pretty shiny get right there in terms of acquisition.
Yeah,
paper, it should have worked.
Yeah, and you know what?
You're jacking up 50 shots a game. Yeah,
yeah. I won't lie. I didn't see that one when he was when he came. I just had felt that DeRozan and him were the same players. He maybe had a few. Rudy maybe had a few notches underneath his belt, but I just didn't think you know what I mean. It wasn't gonna. I just didn't feel that it was gonna work out with Rudy Gay. You know what I mean? You got to give Colangelo, you know what I mean, the props that he tried, right. You know what I mean?
The thing I think with Colangelo as well is that not only did he try, but I think in his mind he thought, well, okay, he was desperate to make a move, number one, but also worst case scenario, this isn't going to strap the franchise too badly. And it turned out to be the case. Masai Ujiri ends up flipping him for an entire bench.
Right. And yeah, so you know what I mean?
His presence, I feel like, and this is the big thing, sort of gave DeMar a little more time to develop, right? Just gave him a little more time in the oven.
I would, and you know what? This is a point that has been brought up and that you've brought up, and I would have to, again, and maybe I might seem too easy today, but I would have to tend to agree, because Rudy playing against DeMar is probably picking up some of his habits. You know what I mean? Seeing how, you know what I mean, I guess the killer instinct that Rudy has.
Right.
And I'm sure this definitely trickled down, you know what I mean, to DeMar. I don't know what, as I said, I don't know what happened to Lowry. He just, I don't know, he went into a time machine.
But he lost 20 pounds, yeah, and then he turned into a
monster.
That's what
it was. Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I'm sure the point has been brought up that Rudy had paid dividends, you know what I mean, to the Raptors. And I feel that he had it. You know what I mean? It didn't work out. No hard feelings, but
right.
You know what I mean?
But it didn't end up being a negative. It,
right.
It just
didn't end
gave
up being
DeMar
a negative.
Just enough of a shield from the criticism and the rumbling, you know, critics that were growing a little bit louder. It just gave him a little more time to get his feet under him. And, you know, the thing I like to say about DeMar is, you know, he's not the fastest learner. You know, there's a bit of a learning curve with him. He's a late bloomer.
But in his defense, you know what I mean?
I don't say that necessarily in a bad way. Once he gets his feet set under him, you know, he takes that step and there's no backstepping.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
once he reaches a new plateau, that's his new level of operation. But he's, you know, he watches his steps as he gets there.
And I definitely understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is that I don't think DeMar had a chance to really cement his feet, as you're saying. Because every time, you know what I mean, there was Andrea, he came in as a first round overall pick, so DeMar had to take a bit of a back seat. You know what I mean? Then, you know what I mean, I guess he had the keys, you know what I mean, for a little bit. He was driving, he started to get comfortable, in comes Rudy, you know what I mean, as a guy that's supposed to be taking over. So I'm glad things worked out the way it did. I didn't see DeRozan being this guy until, again, Reggie and I went to go see a preseason, and then if I didn't see it with my own two eyes, I wouldn't have said that DeMar was going to be the guy that I didn't think it was going to be, to the point where he's sinking, you know what I mean, fourth quarter baskets to ice games. I didn't see that, but I saw that his aggressiveness to get to the hoop and score was coming up, you know what I mean, a lot easier. And as you said, there's a bit of a learning curve. So I am very happy with the team that the Raptors are putting forth onto the court right now. Let's just say that.
I couldn't be happier, and I couldn't agree more.
I hear you.
And I think that this thing is going to be done in six. If we're looking for predictions, my original call was five.
That's coming up.
And I will say I was wrong on the five games, but there were a few more jitters than I expected. You know, I think all expected Terrence Ross to shine a little bit more. But again, you know, this is a second-year player. You know, when these guys straighten it out, we're one good Terrence Ross performance away from smashing this team.
That's what I said earlier. I said if you really go back and look at the games, the Brooklyn Nets could have got swept.
Right.
They could have got swept. Every game's close.
That's right.
And it comes down to this person didn't perform, that person didn't perform, and we lost by four. And, well, we, Toronto Raptors.
Someone has turned heel, and someone has heel.
Listen, I love this city. I love Toronto. When you put Toronto on your chest, I'll cheer for you. So, whatever. And we're up against whoever, I'll cheer.
Right.
So that's why I say Toronto, right?
Ed, this is my wrestling analogy. It looks like Reggie is Roddy Piper that had thrown the coconut into Superfly Snooker's head. Okay, that's what it does look like right there. The Knicks have just gotten bashed. Okay, but.
Don't worry.
We'll keep this between us.
No, I gotta edit that out.
As you said, Ed, and this is a quote from Ed, taboo. Everyone right now with the Raptors in this series is drinking from the same Kool-Aid, all right? Oh, we lost him.
All right, so we seem to have lost Ed. I think we burn up his phone with all this Raptors talk. So we're gonna wrap up the show. What I like to do at the end of shows is a little segment I call Put a Bow on It. So we just wrap up with the topics that we talked about and our views on it for one final last time. And then we move on. So, Tony, Donald Sterling, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
He sells his team?
I think with a lot of litigation and some lawyers, I think he puts up a fight. But I think at the end of the day, he sells his team.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? I don't think he wants to sell his team. I think the team will still stay within his family somehow.
Yeah.
Somebody that he knows will buy it. It's not going to be Magic. It's not going to be Oprah.
Right.
Yeah, these people are just – Oprah especially is just doing it because she wants to get back on the train.
Yeah, she wants to get the
She wants to
right.
be Harriet Tubman of 2014, right? So I don't think that it's going to go to one of them. I think it's going to go to a private, quote-unquote, private owner that's right. going to be handled by – Donald Sterling. So that's what I think.
I would have to tend to agree. I don't think he's going to relinquish that team as easy as the NBA would hope for him to do. You got to remember this this man is he's got a lot of money in the bank, so I'm sure he can make a lot of stuff happen, not just say a rabbit pop out of the hat, but We'll see. That's definitely something that we'll have to come back to.
Because it's definitely not done. You know that. This thing's going to go on for almost ever.
Yeah, I would have to tend to agree. This is going to be probably tied up in litigations. And I see it to be a fight. It looks like Reggie sees it as well to be a fight. So we'll have to see. But we would love to definitely hear your comments about that. You know what I mean? If you can get at us, as Reggie said, good or bad, we'll definitely try to get back to you.
And you can contact us at straighttalks.com. That's STR#TALKS.com. Go to the contact us page. There is a form there where you can put your contacts in. Tell us whatever you want, how we're doing. If you have show topics that you want to hear about, we'll definitely discuss them. So the Raptors prediction tomorrow, game 6? What is it?
Game six. It would be a game 6.
Game six. Who wins? In Brooklyn, who wins?
I'm going home team. I'm going Raptors. Going Raptors to end this tomorrow.
I think so, too. I think they're going to win by 3 or 4 points, yeah. But they'll end up winning, and we can all watch Kevin Garnett poke out his Brooklyn jersey and run away from Carmelo Anthony some more. All right, so that's episode 3 of the Straight Talks podcast. I'm Reggie. That's
Tony Ruckus.
So we'll catch you on the flip side, and we're going to leave you with a definite banger.
Banger.
Classic, classic, classic. If you live classic. On the East Coast, you'll know all about this.
Easy.
So enjoy, and we'll catch you next time.
Oh, my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh, my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh, my God.
Put out the word, Razi has emerged. Surge, most preferred from the verbs and words I finesse. Try your best to diagnose. When I host, you get to roast. Toast, baked grill, brawl. When I rumble, you crumble. My stuff is good like Morongo. Soup, rappers getting soup, front and rugged. While I'll unplug it with my semantics, it's a nugget and expose. You know how it goes when it be gritty. When we roll, it's like we got the key to the city. It won't be pretty for you to challenge. Off balance, bitter, reconsider your talent. You weasel, you're better off pumping diesel. I find it feasible, your days is over, front and evil. Shouting to your people trying to bless your spot. But we don't believe that, cause CBS tells a lot on who got shot and who does all the crime.
Danger!
And do it all the time.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger!
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger!
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
And when we in the house. Ain't no time to act shiesty. Come at us feisty to your ass, that is pricey. Costing, you get big like Mr. Boston. Beans in a box, you need more strength than just locks. I rocks hardcore, even when I dress suited. On to business, ish. My street is deep rooted. What is this shit? Rappers want to blossom, but they all a costume. Thinking we buffoon, I tell you soon, you learn the hard way. Tens and blunts, going Broadway to the theater. Hot rocks is getting weirder, like Vera. From Alice, the East is in your palace on some proper shit. And it will never be the opposite.
When the East is in the house,
oh my god.
To who you worship, that's recommended. Ass kicks come splendid, long-winded, but I don't need my respiratory to bless my story. You got nothing for me. It's been plotted behind doors, they scheming up for my arrival. Rappers are teaming up, doing symphonies. It's gonna be limping seas when I plan my rap. You be left handicapped. Sweat gather because I bring you no jalopy. Building on heads that be older than you be. Pack a NYPF backspin to the essence. You